across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, Wisconsin, good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, July 10th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, and not too far away from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair Fairgrounds, where the Northern Wisconsin State Fair gets underway. Today runs through the weekend up here in beautiful Chippewa Falls. But wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, on social media, or by podcast, thanks for taking us along on your day. I got a question for you. Which state fair do you go to? Because there are options here in Wisconsin. And it's something that actually is featured in today's edition of the daily newsletter that we put together over at upnorthnewswi.com. You see, it's when you put the state fair way in one corner of the state, even if it is the state's largest city in the Milwaukee area, West Dallas specifically, I mean, that's a long way from Superior or Hudson or other, you know, other parts of the state. And so, as it turns out, not only do we have the Wisconsin State Fair in West Dallas and the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls, we also have the Central Wisconsin State Fair in Marshfield. And that's because for a lot of exhibitors, having to travel all the way to, you know, the Milwaukee area is a bit of a stretch, but somebody from Hudson can drive 72 miles to Chippewa Falls. And so the state created other fairs for exhibitions and judging. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see you out here in Chippewa Falls. We're going to see Todd Alba. He's bringing his show up here from noon to two. And apparently Trigvi Olson is flying in to join him. And I'm going to be joining them. And apparently we're going to be engaged in feats of strength or water gun fights or something, depending on what all you do at a state fair. So we'll be listening for that over the noon hour today when we get things kicked off over at the fair. We're also going to be talking today about the Republican convention. It is next week in downtown Milwaukee, and people do plan to protest, even though a judge has now ruled that they can't get as close to the convention site as they would like. And some of them are going to march in defiance of that. And some folks, present company included, who support their message would urge caution that they don't end up having their message lost in any trouble that might be created or imposed upon them. We will talk to Melissa Baldoff. It's Wednesday. We'll get back to our weekly climate check feature. We'll talk about Project 2025. That is the plan by more than 100 conservative and right-wing organizations to lay out a blueprint for what the next conservative president, whoever it may be, maybe Donald Trump this November, it may be somebody else 4 years from now, but they're laying out a path that if there's ever again a chance for a right-wing president and a Congress controlled by the right wing, especially with a Supreme Court controlled by the right wing, here's the dream scenario for them. And we'll talk with Melissa coming up at the bottom of this hour about the climate aspects of it, which would be essentially disastrous. And then in our second hour, we'll get back to the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Up North News reporter Selena Heller will introduce us to Rusty Volk, who's been helping run the fair for many years now, and hear more about what's happening there. It's part of our weekly homeroom segment, so we'll talk about the educational aspect of kids who are either showing off animals, or they may be preparing other exhibits, or some of their schoolwork may be on display in the education building, things like that. We'll talk about the Brewers. We'll talk about the forecast with Brittany Merlot. We'll talk to Todd Alba, and we'll talk to Greg Bach as well, who's in Waukesha. It's 61 degrees up here on Lake Wissota. It's another humid morning here, but it's going to be another nice one here as well. Greg Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Yeah, it's nice and breezy in Waukesha right now, but I can feel the warmth coming.
A coming. I like that. We don't get that.
I can feel
enough.
The warm a coming. It's
it must be a state fair time someplace, you know, where you you have that unique blend of heat and humidity and the barns and the carnies and the hay that's laying all around and the things that are on top of the hay.
Is that time you were like, it's really hot out today. My gosh, this fair is so hot today. I think I'm gonna go have a turkey leg.
Yes, there. My favorite T-shirt that I'd ever seen at one of these fairs was on the first day, and I don't know if they wore a different shirt every day, but one of the vendors had on a T-shirt that said, "Day one, the grass is green, the grease is clean." And I thought that was perfect, because by the time you get to the end of some of these fairs, the grass is all trampled, filled with cigarette butts, and the some of the food just isn't exactly the same. Because again, the grease is fresh for your Pronto Pup or your cheese curds, your French fries, what have you. We've got we had both daughters here last week for my birthday bash. The one with the younger kids had to go back to Michigan. The older daughter is here for one more day simply because they have nothing like this in Idaho. She
really
loves the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Well, nothing that she's been to. And she lives up in the mountains in kind of a more sparse area.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, they do have things.
Yeah. Well,
Nothing like the fairs that we have here. Look, we have the dairy breakfasts. We have these county fairs. And again, sometimes we take for granted, or at least we lose sight of the fact that there's a lot of things that are unique about the Midwest.
Yeah.
And it includes those things where, people do come together. They do, you set up the rides, you try the different foods, you have the parades, because there's so many parts of the country where people don't even know their next door neighbor, and they really don't have nearly the sense of community that we have here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I learn something new every day, I think, from working at Civic Media. And I didn't, when you said, oh, you have state fairs to choose from, and I wanted to be like, you mean county fairs, right, Pat? Because there's only one state fair, and that's West Dallas, Wisconsin. I didn't know we had several. Or,
mm-hmm, yeah.
That's very interesting.
A few different, essentially, regional fairs, I guess, would be the, if you were going to be more technical about it. But again, it's to make sure that the exhibitors, in greater Wisconsin don't feel, any less worthy just because they can't take, old Bessie down all the way to West Allis to show her off, as the case may be. So, and we sometimes forget the agricultural roots of these fairs, how far back they go. And what a journey it was. You didn't just hop on the interstate back then, in your air-conditioned pickup truck to haul a trailer. It was a big deal. So they did set up these other fairs. And look at the things we learn here.
Love
it. We taught you that there was a dairy breakfast in Kenosha County. We know you go to West Dallas for the fair there. I'm sure. I mean, I've only been there, I think, twice myself, but I'm sure you're a frequent visitor to the Wisconsin State Fair in West Allis.
I try to get there. I always want to go with friends, and I want to try to not have to take my car down there. So if I can make that work, I love going there. A fun day, just walking around. The people watching is, it's next level.
The people watching is chef's kiss, man.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you got your Summerfest people watching. That's... Mm-hmm. That's a different beast. But state fair people watching, the T-shirt selections.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes I want to be mad at them. I'm like, I don't agree with that shirt at all, but it's designed so beautifully.
you do see the creative and the humorous side of some folks based on their wardrobe selection. Yeah. Absolutely. You can tell us about what fairs you've been to, what you like, don't like, what you see at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can also send us a text as well. We've always got the app window open here where we can see the text messages that come in, or you can comment on social media as well, or send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We'd put up a new fire pit in our backyard to get ready for last week's events, and it turned out really nice. And it's a lot easier. The previous one was kind of inset into the ground. You basically had to get down to ground level.
Okay.
And this one's a bit more you know, at ground level and up, kind of raised a bit. And it's just easier to light. It's everything is nice about it. I think there's going to be a lot more, you know, little campfires in the Kreitlow future here. It's just a perfect night for it last night.
Oh, lovely day on the pontoon boat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, bring it was. In, we did that.
And yep. Then head to the fire pit, have a cocktail. Mm-hmm. I know everyone has their bumps and stumbles in life, but man, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, it just sounds like you have a choice.
It's good to be me some days. Yeah. Some days it's good to be me.
It's good to be the king.
There was a meeting yesterday for radio producers and hosts, and eventually I had to chime in on something, had to turn my camera on, and you know, people, where are you? And I'm like, I'm on the pontoon. You know, we're going upriver. The sun is shining, and it was there are worse ways to attend a company meeting than, you know, on your phone on the pontoon.
Yeah.
I will admit. So we had all of that going for us. And then, of course, you have the kids were having a water balloon fight, you know, around the yard. It was just absolutely perfect. And the day started with Cocoa Wheats. And I've come to realize this is a bit of a dividing line in society. There's people who've heard of Malt-O-Meal. Meal.
Yeah.
People have heard of oatmeal, yeah. Obviously. Cocoa Wheats is kind of like Malt-O-Meal or cream of wheat, but it's chocolate flavored. I'd never had it as a kid. For Sherry's family on the farm, that was like their Saturday morning thing. That was their treat. And I've come to realize some people have never had it. It's life-changing once they do, or they're repulsed by the idea of a hot chocolate cereal for breakfast.
Well, when all you I put know it is, like that, would you like a hot chocolatey glop in the morning?
And the kids and grandkids here say, yes, oh, yeah. Yes, please. And they do. So, you know, our day started off that way. And so for us, that happened to work. And then the day ended with not just the campfire and the water balloon fight, but keeping an eye on the TV through the window and seeing that I didn't really have to pay much attention to it because Pittsburgh hit five home runs,
oh my God,
including a grand slam off Brewers pitching. Oh. The Pirates, shall we say, shellacked the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field 12-2 last night.
The exact term I was going to use. I was so angry. I was so angry.
I just figured there's going to be nights like that for Brewers pitching, and I can't be thoroughly unhappy because even though he's on the other team now, there's just something I like about Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah. You know,
he was part of the hit parade.
I miss
and,
him.
And look, the Pirates won in Milwaukee last night for just the 12th time in their last 42 games, going back to 2019. So, you know, you're going to drop a couple here and there. Game two of the series, 7-10 tonight, pregame at 6:35. And then tomorrow's game, by the way, is a matinee at 1:10 in the afternoon. We'll unpack the news after this, wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. There's a lot of young parents right there going, oh, is Cars on? Did somebody put Cars on? As that starts the movie for one of my grandsons during a period when he was like 3-4 years old. It felt like that movie was on a loop, and you would hear Gary LaVox there of Rascal Flatts singing Life is a Highway. He turns 54 today. More in today's history lesson coming up a half hour from now. Mr. Bach, have you ever played the Nordic lawn game known as Kube? Where he says he's so excited. Tell me more.
I've never played it, but
oh, okay.
But when Jane and Todd went on their tour a couple weeks ago, they talked to the head of the Kube League in Eau Claire, and yes. I guess Eau Claire has like the largest Kube League in the world, or they're like known for it, and. The way he was describing it, I just like, I have to watch this. I don't want to play it yet. I just want to watch it first. Mm-hmm. But it sounds so intriguing.
Well, funny you should say that, because in our daily newsletter, sign up at upnorthnewswi.com, learn about Kube, because each July in Eau Claire, Wisconsin hosts the U.S. National Kube Championship. The game where players try to knock down wooden blocks by throwing wooden batons at them. The annual tournament begins this weekend, this Friday. More than 500 players from 22 states and a handful of countries will compete. I've got a neighbor who is extremely Nordic, shall we say, wants to keep all of the traditions alive, and that included teaching Mikub in my front yard, despite, I don't know if you know this, I get a little sarcastic sometimes. I know, you're like, no, this can't be.
Pat, what are you talking about? I don't know that you're sarcastic at all.
Yeah, so I you know, might have made some comments about throwing scrap lumber at each other, but, you know, we got through the game, and now all kinds of folks will be in Eau Claire taking care of that. Also in the newsletter today, a comparison of tax plans. You've got President Biden's plan to raise taxes on billionaires and the biggest corporations in order to fund more affordable child care and housing, keeping taxes the same for households earning under $400,000 a year. Meanwhile, you've got former President Trump promising billionaires another massive tax cut for themselves and the companies they run, and in some cases, as part of a plea for campaign donations. So more about that in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. So as noted, the former president will be in Milwaukee next week to be formally nominated as the Republican candidate for president here in 2024. Will, of course, mark the first time that a convicted felon has been named and nominated by a major party for president. And even if there weren't, even if he weren't a convicted criminal and a criminal defendant in three other cases, there's enough about his previous record and his own record of you know, personal accord that would lead people to want to protest him and to show the rest of the country their opposition to what he stands for and what he tries to do. But that leads us to the conflict that is unique to this year's convention, with a Republican Party here in Wisconsin that is openly and unapologetically hostile to Milwaukee, holding their convention in Milwaukee. And while I cannot argue one bit with the local leaders who want the national showcase and who want the economic boost that it could bring, the decision is also fraught with peril. And that's because anything that now goes wrong gives Republicans at the state and national level a little more ammunition to say, see, that's why these big, bad Democrat-run cities are so bad and we're so good. We're the real America over here. And it just exacerbates the divide. But still, people have the right to protest, and they should. They should make themselves known. But there's a conflict over where those protests should happen. A lot of times in big events like this, you're going to set up a security perimeter, and you may even set up a zone where folks can essentially exercise their First Amendment rights. The problem is that a federal judge ruled yesterday that protesters next week cannot march through a security zone at the Republican convention, and that hands a defeat to those who'd been pushing to have closer access to where the delegates will be gathering, so that the delegates and the guests and the former president and others can actually see and hear their protests. Judge Brett Ludwig said that, in his order, protesters have a right to march, but, quote, the First Amendment does not allow them to protest or parade in any way they choose, which is a valid point. But is it valid to the point where you would tell people, well, you can't march at Five Serve Center, but you can march in Sheboygan? Okay, obviously that's an extreme point, but where's the line? And in this case, is it five blocks? Is the parade route that's established for protesting five blocks away from the arena, is that too far? Or is that adhering to security concerns? Omar Flores, the chair of the March on the RNC Coalition, told reporters yesterday afternoon the protesters will march where they want to march. He distributed a map of the protesters' route, which runs inside an outer security perimeter about one block east of the arena. Flores repeatedly described the march as being family-friendly, but acknowledged that protesters will likely encounter police. I'm not here to say don't march. I'm not. But I am saying that whatever turns out to be the worst behavior by someone in your group or anything planted in your group will end up being the only message coming from it, not what you're protesting. All that's going to come from it potentially is a told you so moment from Republicans just itching for something bad to happen, even if they have to instigate it. One need only look at the sickening amount of public support for Kyle Rittenhouse as reason to be extremely deliberative in planning to do the things you know you can control and not risk losing your narrative because of the things that you can't. And if that sounds overly cautious, it's said because of an overt amount of support. You should absolutely be able to get to TV cameras and the public, and the people attending should know that you're there. But the conflict that could result is a gamble that you're going to have to take as you make these plans, especially given the wild cards that could be there. There are folks there in Milwaukee coming next week who tried to overthrow an American election, who engaged in criminal conspiracies. They're capable of a lot of different things. Don't get played. When we come back, we're going to have our climate check segment with Melissa Baldoff. We'll talk about the Republicans' Project 2025 and what it means from a climate standpoint for, you know, planet Earth. Not a great thing. That's coming up with Melissa Baldoff after this. You're up north. All right, we're getting back on track after the holiday week onto our regular schedule, which means on this Wednesday morning, we're going to have our weekly climate check update with Melissa Baldoff. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. How about you?
Good. It was really great to talk to you and Joe last week. Did you have a good holiday weekend?
We did, yeah. It was wonderful. We had a great holiday.
Good. Glad to hear that. So it's the thing I want to get into this week with you, Melissa. If you are a political insider, if you're like a news junkie, you're in that group that's heard all about something called Project 2025. But there's a whole lot of folks who don't know what's in it and just how bad it can be, especially for the climate. But let's start with the overview. How do you describe what Project 2025 is and how it would play into a Donald Trump term if he were to be elected this November?
Right. So, you know, this is Donald Trump's playbook for his, you know, if he were to get another term in office. This is his blueprint to, you know, undermine our democracy and to, you know, really, you know, kind of set up the pathway for his very far right, you know, set of policies that would, you know, undermine protections for workers, for our environment. It would restrict access to the, you know, right to an abortion, to healthcare, impact our schools, you know, you name it, anything that people depend on in our society, they're coming to change it just about. So this is really a, you know, very far right playbook
Right. Just imagine every right-wing group saying, what is on your wish list? And look, I'll be fair here. You kind of want to see the same thing from the left to say, you know, look, if a true progressive were to do everything that nothing but progressives want, here's what it would be. And the voters could kind of see the two things. We don't have that, but we have Project 2025. This is more than 100 different groups have had some input on this. A whole lot of people that are associated with, you know, Trump's presidency, and who would love the chance to get back in there. And this is their manifesto. This is, if you let us in, if you thought for a moment we were going to be centrist, you can just think again, right?
Yep, exactly. This is incredibly extreme, dangerous, and concerning. It is something that everyone should be aware of. It is something everyone should look into for themselves. I would encourage everyone who is listening to go to their computer, go to their phone, go to their iPad, however you access the internet, go to the library, which they're coming for, libraries, right? However you access the internet, go there and Google Project 2025.
And, you know, from a climate standpoint, let's keep this part in mind, that this is not about approaching a problem from a different point of view, okay? Some of these organizations have long track records of putting out climate disinformation. They have ties to industrial polluters, you know, the Coke Industries and ExxonMobil, big corporate donors, things like that. And, you know, as noted by the Sierra Club, this agenda of theirs offers no strategy for reining in the carbon pollution that is causing this. Essentially, they're saying climate change doesn't exist, or they think the science is still out. It would be another matter entirely, Melissa, if they said, yes, there is this issue, but here's how we want to come at it. But it's full-blown denial.
Exactly. It is. As you noted, the Sierra Club has done a really fantastic job of capturing all of the ways that this would be devastating. And a scientist that they cited from the University of Pennsylvania, as he put it, said if this agenda was implemented, it would be, quote, game over for climate progress in the U.S., So, you know, and in the absence, he continued that in the absence of American leadership, global efforts to reduce carbon emissions and avoid catastrophic warming will likely fail. So, yeah, I mean, that really is game over. If the U.S. is not going to participate in addressing climate change, that means that the world is not going to be able to make meaningful progress in addressing climate change. So that is truly catastrophic and means that we are not going to make progress. That means that we are throwing up our hands and saying, too bad, future generations. It's been a nice run on planet Earth. Hope everyone enjoyed it so far. We're going to just let it be destroyed.
That's right. Even to the point where it says that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the parent agency of the National Weather Service, that NOAA should be, quote, broken up and downsized because it is, quote, one of the main drivers of the climate change alarm industry. In other words, the fire alarm is going off and the arsonist is saying, you know what we need to do? We need to rip out this alarm system first and foremost. We're having a tough enough time tracking extreme weather as it is. Imagine what that's like if NOAA were to get significant cutbacks or even be just chopped up entirely.
Right. I mean, that piece of this is just incredibly alarming. We just had a run of bad weather in Wisconsin, and I can't imagine anyone out there, no matter what political party you align with, not wanting as much advanced warning as you can possibly get when you're going to experience bad weather. If tornadoes coming your way, if a flood, if there's a hurricane, wildfires, you know, this is an entity that is communicating about these extreme weather events, giving people that notice and that advanced warning to help get the word out, help people prepare for, you know, potentially catastrophic weather events, and to suggest that that we should be, you know, downsizing and breaking this organization up, and that, you know, they're somehow alarmist, is just preposterous.
Right. And now here's some more misinformation coming from the Project 2025 people, talking about ending President Joe Biden's, quote, war on fossil fuels and to, quote, restore America's energy dominance by going all in on carbon energy. And as the Sierra Club notes, in fact, under the Biden administration, U.S. oil and gas production has reached record highs. Something climate advocates are not really thrilled about, but if you're coming at it from an energy independence point of view, it's the Biden administration that actually has done more for that than any other as it prepares to make that shift to say, all right, how do we continue to be number one in energy production, but to do it from a clean energy standpoint? But rather than make that pivot as the Biden administration wants to do, Melissa, you've got them instead saying, we just want to revert all the way back to as many offshore oil and gas leases as possible. We want to expedite permits, never minding, you know, any greenhouse gas emissions. We're going to expedite gas pipelines that go through sensitive areas. And again, Melissa, this is not hyperbole. This is all written down. This is in explicit language. This is what we want to do. It's not a scare tactic. It's what we want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we know what Trump has told us and what he has communicated. You know, he's told oil and gas executives previously that, you know, in exchange for $1 billion in campaign contributions, he is going to give them big tax cuts, you know, that, you know, you scratch my back and I'm going to scratch yours. So it's no surprise that he is going to have a policy agenda that on day one is going to want to expand the, you know, the oil and gas industry and, you know, restore that energy dominance by going all in on dirty carbon-based energy. So, you know, that we already know that. We already knew that he was committed to rewarding his donors and his friends and is hostile to the idea of clean energy. But this just really, you know, lays it out even further how far he wants to go in taking us down that path where, you know, we're not only, you know, giving away these huge tax breaks to the fossil fuel industry, but we are, you know, openly hostile to the clean energy economy and the promise of, you know, of cleaner options to fuel our nation.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Project 2025 recommends repealing the Inflation Reduction Act and all of the financial incentives and assistance to make your home more energy efficient and to lower your bills, recommends repeal of the bipartisan infrastructure law, which is doing a lot in red states as well as blue states. Here's one that's especially noteworthy. The designation of PFAS, those industrial chemicals, the designation as hazardous would be revisited. And then there would be a recommendation to try to scrap the Global Change Research Act of 1990, which requires the publication of a national climate assessment. Melissa, again, the Global Change Research Act of 1990, for folks who can't put the history right there, that's in the middle of a Republican presidential administration. George H.W. Bush, you know, back when taking care of the climate was a bipartisan concern.
I just feel like everything when it comes to Donald Trump about science, you know, he feels like the jury is still out. And it is, you know, anything that a Democrat is for, he's going to be against. And if there's not a way for him to personally benefit, then he's not going to be for it. And that's really what this is an agenda that is going to make him, at least in his mind, it's going to make him better and more powerful and richer. And it's going to come at the expense of the American people. It's going to come at the expense of our economy. And quite frankly, it's going to, you know, it's going to cost human lives. You know, we know that the there are many provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act that really are improving public health. They are making for cleaner air and water. You know, they are going to help address those extreme weather events and make this a, you know, healthier, more livable planet. And the cost here is going to be people getting sick, can be people dying. And I think that this is a president, you know, when he was president, and if he were ever to become president again, he is somebody that has really demonstrated that that's not his top concern. As in his handling of COVID, we saw it, and his willingness to put human lives on the line again with this kind of radical agenda, you know, people's lives are not his top concern.
Right. And so if you want to read more of it, and that's one of the concerns, is it's 900 pages. We just touched on the climate end of it. But this is such a wish list for the far right. And it's everything that Donald Trump would do. I'm not saying you have to read the whole 900 pages, but go to project2025.org and learn a bit more about it, because there is this hashtag that's been so true about Donald Trump throughout his career, whether it's dealing with people in and their employment, whether it's groups, whether it's election majorities that Republicans used to have. The saying is, everything Trump touches dies. And I don't know that we want to be able to apply that to the climate as well. Melissa Baldoff, as always, thank you for this week's Climate Check. Have a great day.
Thanks.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north. I don't know. What should we do a song about? I don't know. I feel like we've done songs about everything. Anybody ever done a song about a nooner? That's genius. Gonna find my
baby, gonna hold by a band who looks like your mom and dad?
Hey, moms and dads, obviously.
Moms and dads got to be moms and dads for a reason.
I hate this video so much.
This is, I had to put in the notes for Greg. Creepy video alert. I mean, it is every stereotypical camera angle, you know, the double effect where they're singing to each other. It's just, yeah, the hairstyles.
Skip the video.
No. You should absolutely see the video, but
you should subject yourself to it.
It might hamper, your choices in afternoon recreational activities afterwards. Anyway, that pleasant voice you're hearing there is Melissa Kay from locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
Oh, good morning. Sorry, I couldn't hold back from commenting.
No, by all means, don't. Matt from Germantown on the text line. All this does is make me think of Anchorman, which is true. Love the use of this song in Anchorman. Also on the text line, Michael from Tosa. I love Cocoa Wheats. We talked about that earlier. Melissa, Cocoa Wheats on your breakfast
puffs?
Menu?
Absolutely.
Cocoa Puffs, yes. Cocoa Wheats, no? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, sure. You chocolate breakfast, yes.
Okay, there we go. Chocolate breakfast, good. Greg thinks some people hear chocolate breakfast and go, no, not good, but this yes.
I
chocolate
do?
Breakfast. Didn't you say chocolate breakfast, hot cereal, and you thought that wouldn't sit well with some folks?
I said chocolate hot glop, isn't doesn't sound like the best seller. Like,
well,
that's what you're talking about. Hot cereal. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. See, look at that.
There was a period of time where we weren't allowed to eat chocolate and we had carob for breakfast.
With
our cream of wheat.
That's just mean.
Farina. But if you add enough sugar, you can't tell the difference. And it's
add enough sugar, that's butter, always lots of that butter. That's always the thing.
Melissa, are your parents hippies?
We don't need to talk about that, Greg.
Okay,
all moving right, on all to right, the all number right, one. All right. The number one song this day in 1965 was by the Rolling Stones. This would be the number one song for 4 weeks and be the biggest hit of the year 1965.
This song is about putting carob on your Cocoa Puffs.
It's not on your cream of wheat.
It's not the same.
On this day in 1925, the Scopes trial got underway in Dayton, Tennessee. The so-called monkey trial begins of John Scopes, a young high school science teacher accused of teaching evolution. So satanic.
It's just a theory, man.
On this day in 1999, the U.S. women's national soccer team defeated China in a penalty shootout at the Rose Bowl to win the final match of the 1999 FIFA Women's World Cup, the winning penalty kick coming from Brandi Chastain in a now iconic celebration photo. And women's soccer has been on a roll, no pun intended, ever since.
Soccer's very popular.
Yes, it is. Birthdays today include Greg Kinn of the, he says this a lot. He's going to say it again. Conveniently named Greg Kinn Band.
You
can only think of the Weird Al Yankovic I lost on Jeopardy. Yes?
Yes.
Yep. It was genius. We mentioned Gary LaVox, lead singer of Rascal Flatts, is 54 years old today. Greg Kinn is 75, by the way, if I didn't mention his age. Sofia Vergara is 52 years old today, which reminds me, Greg. I made a mistake yesterday.
Yeah.
And it really scared you. Because at first I looked at him like, Sofia Vergara, 52? Can that be right? And I'm like, you typed it in right. Whereas yesterday, I typed in the year right, but I didn't do the math. So Jack White from the White Stripes, apparently I said 59. He's actually 49 years old. But 59. Now I see why it hit you so hard.
Yeah.
When it said that. You were like, no way. Turns out, no way. It was 49. My apologies.
I was about to text my friend saying, I hope you're having a great day. Just to let you know, Jack White's 59 and we're all dying soon. but then I'm like, am I sure about that? And I looked, I'm like, no.
No.
You got another decade.
Patrick Ilyanovich Rasputin Kreitlow was incorrect with his information.
Yep, he carried the one more than once. Jessica Simpson is 44 years old today. Wow. On this day in 1985, Tina Turner stars opposite Mel Gibson in the post-apocalyptic action flick Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, which gave us this Tina Turner hit.
Some would say we didn't need another Mad Max movie.
Nikola Tesla, the infamous physicist and engineer, was born this day in 1856. And on this day in 2004, American Idol winner Fantasia had the number one song with I Believe. It's funny, though, the American Idol winners who stick with us year after year after year. And again, Fantasia may still be putting out singles and records. I'm not the person to come to about that. But, I mean, if I'm still hearing about you after so many years, then you're clearly, doing all right by yourself. I have no idea if Fantasia is still active or not.
It kind of sounds like a Disney theme song.
Doesn't it, though? I was thinking it was like a Let 90s. It Go kind of thing almost.
A little bit.
She has made her way to Broadway. She did the color purple, and
that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
She's got a very unique voice.
Yeah. Perfect for the stage there. A lot of folks use Shazam, the smartphone app. It was the first music recognition service of its kind, and it launched on this date in 2008. And to this day, I've never used Shazam because, others came on the market at that point and somebody said, oh, here, use SoundHound. And so I've always had SoundHound on my phone, but I've never had Shazam on there. I don't know if there's a big war between the apps, but apparently I'm on the beta side of the VHS wars over here. Melissa,
yes.
What is new at Locally Grown Radio?
Oh, you know, so much. I am elbows deep in developing my new show, Community Stories with Melissa Kay. I have so many conversations set up over the next couple of weeks. I'm so excited. And we're also in the planning stages for our open house parking lot party / barbecue. Like, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to do this party in August. Ooh. And get people excited about our upcoming newsletter.
That sounds great. Melissa Kay, thank you so much. And by the way, happy Lasagna Awareness Month to you.
There's a month.
Told you to be aware. Yes.